Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text Number 58. Dayamane Gnibir Dehe Patyu Patni Sahotaje Bahi Stita Patim Sadvi Tam Agnim Anu Vikshyati Dayamane Gnibir Dehe Patyu Patni Sahotaje Bahi Stita Patim Sadvi Tam Agnim Anuvikshyati Dayamane Gnibir Dehe Patyu Patni Sahotaje Bahi Stita Patim Sadvi Tam Agnim Anuvekshyati Dayamane Gnibir Dehe Patyu Patni Sahotaje Bahi Stita Patim Sadvi Tam Agnim Anuvikshyati. Dayamane Gnibir Dehe Anuvikshati Dayamane Gnibir Dehe Patyu Patni Hotse Bahi Stita Patim Sadvi Tam Agnim Anutikshati Dayamane Gnibir Dehe Patyu Patni Sahotaje Bahi Stita Patim Sadvi Tam Agnim Anuvikshyati Dayamane Gnibir Dehe Patyu Patni Sahotaje Bahi Stita Patim Sadvi Tam Agnim Anuvikshyati Matajis Dayamane Gnibir Dehe Patyu Patni Sahotaje Bahi Stita Patim Sadvi Tam Agnim Anuvikshyati Dayamane Gnibir Dehe Patyu Patni Sahotaje Bahi Stita Patim Sadvi Tam Agnim Anuvikshyati Dayamane while it is burning. Agnivihi, by the fire. Dehe, the body. Patyuhu, of the husband. Patni, the wife. Saha Urtaje, along with the thatched cottage. Bahi, outside. Stita, situated. Patim, unto the husband. Sadvi, the chaste lady. Tam, that. Agnim, fire. Anuvekshyati, looking with great attention, will enter the fire. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. While outside observing her husband, who will burn in the fire of mystic power, along with his thatched cottage, his chaste wife will enter the fire with rapt attention. Purport. Gandhari was an ideal chaste lady, a life companion of her husband, and therefore, when she saw her husband burning in the fire of mystic yoga, along with his cottage of leaves, she despaired. She left home after losing her 100 sons, and in the forest she saw that her most beloved husband was also burning. Now she actually felt alone, and therefore she entered the fire of her husband and followed her husband to death. This entering of a chaste lady into the fire of her dead husband is called the sati rite, and the action is considered to be most perfect for a woman. In a later age, this sati rite became an obnoxious criminal affair because the ceremony was forced upon even an unwilling woman. In this fallen age, it is not possible for any lady to follow the sati rite as chastely as it was done by Gandhari and others in past ages. A chaste wife like Gandhari would feel the separation of her husband to be more burning than actual fire. Such a lady can observe the sati rite voluntarily, and there is no criminal force by anyone. When the rite became a formality only, and force was applied upon a lady to follow the principle, actually it became criminal, and therefore the ceremony was to be stopped by state law. This prophecy of Narada Muni to Maharaj Yudhisthira forbade him to go to his widowed aunt. Okay. I think Prabhupada said enough in the purport on this particular issue. It's something more than I didn't want to elaborate on. I did read a little bit about it. It became outlawed many years ago. But even at present day, meaning in the last 10 or 20 years, there still has been some of this going on. But as Prabhupada describes very nicely, at this particular stage, it became a criminal event because, for whatever reason, sometimes the mother, the wife, sometimes she wouldn't get any of the property left over by the husband. And it would be taken by other family members, and she would have nothing. She'd be actually widowed with nothing. So sometimes that way they would go into the fire, or they'd be forced to go into the fire. So saying that, I think Prabhupada gave pretty much the essence of what this is all about. But again, it's just reiterating the glorious position of Gandhari as being an ideal chaste wife, uncompromising, powerful. She lost all her sons, of course, but we did read a pastime about her and her son Duryodhana and how she gave him power. But Krishna, he created a problem by having covered parts of his body, and then that way he was killed. So basically everything that was going on here was by the mercy of Krishna, by his arrangement. So unless someone else has something to offer, I'll just go into the next verse about this sati rite. Anyone have anything? Yes. The same destination as her husband. Yeah. The same destination as her husband. He was liberated. He became liberated. But if we read in the purport, we'll see later in another one that he didn't really become a devotee due to his offenses. Because he was very offensive towards the Pandavas, he wanted to kill them on so many occasions. So she became liberated as he did. That's the idea of going into that fire. Yes?
Sachinandana.
Initially, it was mentioned that Gandhari... So initially it was mentioned that Gandhari always covered her eyes. So she just opened when she, empowered Duryodhana. So here in this purport it says that Gandhari washed her husband. So so after that, had she removed it?
Yeah, she undid her, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. While she was with him, yes, she did have her eyes blindfolded.
Prabhu, as you were speaking that, I was thinking, would be the position? Like, Gandhari was a very special personality. But then when we talk in modern age, or even 100 years ago or 200 years ago, what would be the destination? You did say it's the same as the husband, in this case, with Gandhari. But... to quit the body early, we all have a particular path, or suicide. Sometimes we speak it, and then this is not suicide, but I'm just trying to understand then, what do you think would be the path of the wife to follow the husband? I mean, if her life is not finished, then does she have to... I don't want to say, take birth like...
Depends on who you're speaking about. Are you speaking about a non-devotee or a devotee? In this particular case, Dhritarashtra was not a devotee. He was, he wasn't a devotee. He was inimical. So whatever you're speaking about, are you speaking about what happens to a devotee, a wife, or what...
It could be a devotee wife who's not complete with her life.
Well, if she's not a devotee, then obviously she'll go to whatever her karma activity is. But if she's a devotee initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, it's the spiritual master that delivers her, not the husband. The husband does not deliver his wife. It's the spiritual master if she takes initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. If she doesn't, then I can't really say. I wouldn't know what to tell you, what her destination is. Meaning that if the husband's initiated and the wife is not, then there's a calamity there. But I would find that to be very difficult to see or understand if the wife didn't take initiation also. So the idea is that the spiritual master, he's the one that delivers the disciple, the guru. Yes, Sergi.
Also, there's a scientific fact that doctors accept, just like we've had the example of that beautiful couple, elderly couple, the husband passed away. And
Vidura and Manjari.
Exactly. Shortly thereafter, I remember Sesha, and I've said it before, but it sticks out so prominently. His father was a general in the United States Army, and Sesha Prabhu,
yeah,
one of our GBCs, and a sadhu. And he flew out from L.A. to go to his father's funeral, came back, and he flew out again to go to his mother's funeral. Yeah. And he said that the doctor said that there's a special name for when the spouse can't live, literally,
yeah,
without the other
Definitely
spouse.
Definitely not. Not hardly
and
at all.
Within days,
yeah,
passes from this world.
Yeah, it's true. This is what happens. Definitely, in a lot of cases, especially when they're very elderly, that especially happens. Okay, anything else? All right, I'll just chant the next verse, which would be verse number 59. Viduras tutat ascharyam nisham ya kuru. What's that? Yeah. Viduras tutat acharyam nishamya kurunandana harsha shoka yutas tasmad ganta tirta nivsevaka. Translation. Vidura, being affected with delight and grief, will then leave that place of sacred pilgrimage. Purport. Vidura was astonished to see the marvelous departure of his brother Dhritarashtra as a liberated yogi, for in his past life he was much attached to materialism. Of course, it was only due to Vidura that his brother attained the desirable goal of life. Vidura was therefore glad to learn about it, but he was sorry that he could not make his brother turn into a pure devotee. This was not done by Vidura because of Dhritarashtra's being inimical to the Pandavas, who were all devotees of the Lord. An offense at the feet of a Vaishnava is more dangerous than an offense at the lotus feet of the Lord. Vidura was certainly very liberal to bestow mercy upon his brother Dhritarashtra, whose past life was very materialistic. But ultimately the result of such mercy certainly depended on the will of the Supreme Lord in the present life. Therefore, Dhritarashtra attained liberation only. And after many such liberated states of life, one can attain to the stage of devotional service. Vidura was certainly very mortified by the death of his brother and sister-in-law, and the only remedy to mitigate such lamentation was to go out to pilgrimage. Thus, Maharaj Yudhisthira had no chance to call back Vidura, his surviving uncle. Om Agyanit Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshu Mintam Jainitas My Sri Guru Vena Maha. Vanchakalpatrubhisya Kripasinuvivita Paritana Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in this particular purport, I thought maybe we should discuss Vaishnava Aparad. This is always a question of how to address this Vaishnava Aparad. And Srila Prabhupada said that the intelligence, or Krishna conscious intelligence, the purity of Krishna consciousness can be affected by the activities of the living entity. Whatever one does, if one engages in spiritual activity, the consciousness will become very pure and spiritual. But in the course of our activity, if the consciousness becomes polluted materially by activities that are not very good, it says that one can purify the consciousness again by performing austerity, by performing sacrifices, penances, giving in charity. If one does that, then one can become purified again. The consciousness can gradually become purified. But it's described that when one commits an offense or a Vaishnava aparad, that it's very difficult after that aparad to revive one's Krishna consciousness. Very, very difficult. So this is the importance of understanding this Vaishnava aparad and how and what it does to our spiritual life. So many examples of that. I'm just thinking one example was Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was a great sage, very powerful. He had tens of thousands of followers. Wherever he went, they went with him. He was mystic. He was very expert in all activities of yajna, of austerity, of sacrifice. Renowned, powerful. And wherever he traveled, he'd travel with at least, 10,000, 50,000? It's like 50,000 disciples wherever he went. So Ambarish Maharaj was performing his duties as a Vaishnava, and he was performing a very long fast. And in that fast, he was going to break the fast at a certain time. So it so happened that Durvasa Muni and his 50,000 disciples pulled into town. Well, he was in the middle of his austerity, his penance that he was doing. So anyway, Durvasa Muni came and he demanded to be fed by Ambarish Maharaj. And he said, okay. But then before he ate, he would go take bath in the Ganga. And because of taking the bath at a certain time, Ambarish had to break his fast. And he couldn't do it because Durvasa Muni would be very angry with him that he would take any kind of prasad or break his fast before he got done with his bath. So Durvasa Muni, you might say, took his time. I think it was all a strategy, a plan. to belittle Ambarish Maharaj, who was a renowned king. He wasn't a brahmana. He was just a kshatriya. He was a king. And Durvasa Muni was a brahmana, very powerful. So I think it was a strategy to embarrass Ambarish Maharaj. So he purposefully was late. So Ambarish Maharaj consulted with the brahmanas and said, how do I deal with this? My fast is, I have to break my fast right now. What should I do? Their recommendation was that you drink water. That way you break the fast, but at the same time you don't break it in terms of eating some hard food. So he took that water, and Durvasa Muni immediately recognized that he did that. So he was going to come and curse Ambarish Maharaj, and he did curse him. So immediately after cursing Ambarish Maharaj, Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra to kill Durvasa Muni, immediately to kill him. And Durvasa Muni, by his mystic power, he was immediately able to avoid the chakra. So he went to Lord Brahma, asked for forgiveness, nothing could happen. He went to Lord Shiva, nothing could be done. And he eventually went all the way up to the Vaikuntha planets and there paid his obeisances at the feet of Lord Narayana. And Lord Narayana said, I cannot do anything for you. I cannot help you. The only way that you can atone for this offense is that you have to go back down and you have to fall at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj and ask for and beg for forgiveness. So Prabhupada said that this is the process in Krishna consciousness. That if we commit an offense, a Vaishnava aparad, the only thing that can save us is to go to that devotee or devotees, depending on how many that we offend. And by that begging of mercy, one can atone for that simple activity of criticizing a devotee or Vaishnava. So in Krishna consciousness, this is a very important issue because Durvasa Muni became very arrogant and puffed up because of his knowledge, his mystic power. And he looked at this little person of Ambarish Maharaj, who he considered to be just an ordinary person, not understanding that he was a Vaishnava. I think Durvasa Muni was actually an impersonalist. So he had no real knowledge or understanding of what it means to be a Vaishnava. So we, as devotees here, we have to be very learned. And what is a Vaishnava? Who is a devotee? It's extremely important. We heard from Giriraj Maharaj that when Lord Chaitanya was asked that particular question, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, anyone that chants the holy name, he's my devotee. Anyone who chants Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he's my devotee. So we see every day, we're surrounded by devotees that chant the holy name. And we have to be very cautious how and what we do. We see that Durvasa Muni, out of anger, another very great story on that is Daksha. Daksha, who was very inimical towards his son-in-law, Lord Shiva. Very inimical. He didn't like him. He actually hated him. And his daughter married him. Yes, Sati married him. And he was so inimical. In fact, when it was their assembly of devotees, sadhus, and great saints, they were together, and they were discussing Lord Shiva. They were glorifying Lord Shiva. And Daksha became so angry. He became infuriated that they were actually glorifying him and not glorifying Daksha. They were glorifying Lord Shiva. He became enraged, and he left that association, even though they begged him, don't leave, please stay. No, he refused, because he thought he was the greatest. And the word Daksha itself means expert in material activities. He was expert in everything material, in progeny, in wealth, in beauty, strength. He was glorious. Hundreds of sons and wives. He was unbelievably powerful. And so he criticized Lord Shiva, and especially at one particular fire yajna that Daksha was presiding over. And at that particular yajna, Sati came, although Lord Shiva didn't want her to go, but she went anyway because it was a family event. Everybody would be there, and she wanted to see her family. And he said, don't go. There'll be problems. She went anyway. So there she went, and at that particular function, Daksha thoroughly criticized Lord Shiva, belittling him, just his whole habits and his followers. And of course, the offense was so grievous that the disciples or the devotees of Lord Shiva became enraged, and the big war broke out. And so many were killed. And from this grievous offense by Daksha, not only were his followers annihilated, but he himself was killed. They chopped off his head. And he lost everything. Although he was the greatest of the great, and he had so much power, still because of that power, he became very puffed up, and from that came anger. And from that anger, he committed this great offense to Lord Shiva, and he was annihilated. So this is Vaishnava Aparad. And we see that Krishna himself actually takes charge if it's done to his devotees. Well, what to speak of Hiranyakashipu and him trying to kill his son Prahlad Maharaj. In those particular pastimes, Krishna himself comes to make sure to get rid of this aparadi, this personality. Of course, this is a pastime, but it's telling us a story of how important it is not to degrade the Vaishnavas and to belittle or criticize. And of course, there's another story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramachandra Khan. There's a very famous story where Haridas Thakur was chanting the holy names of the Lord at Shantipur, and outside of Shantipur, a small village. And there he was chanting the holy name of the Lord 24 hours a day. Ramachandra Khan was a very great personality in Shantipur, famous, powerful, landowner, so many wives, so much money, a beautiful, gorgeous person. But still, he became very angry and envious that so many people were coming to see Haridas Thakur and asking for benedictions, for blessings. And he became very envious. Here he was in his big city. He was the maintainer, the glorifier of this particular Shantipur. But here's Haridas Thakur, some mendicant living in a cave, not even of a proper home, chanting. And so many people were coming to him for guidance, for blessings. He became very envious. So he decided to hire a prostitute. And he had that prostitute go to Haridas Thakur and ask to be to engage with him in sexual affair. And she came, and very beautiful. She was dressed very nicely. She came when the sun was just going down, very romantic. So she came and sat in front of Haridas Thakur and asked him, please take me and enjoy me. And Haridas Thakur, being a very pure devotee, a saintly person, he said, okay, sure, please just sit here. Let me finish my prescribed rounds, my spiritual duty. And after I'm done, then we'll have, engagement. We'll engage. And she said, okay. So she waited very patiently. So throughout the whole night, Haridas Thakur was chanting. He kept chanting all through the whole night. And she sat there very patiently waiting for this opportunity to engage with him. And then all of a sudden, the sun rose. And then he said, oh, I'm so sorry. I just finished my prescribed number of rounds, but now I have to start my next set of rounds. So I have to keep chanting. So she said, okay. And he said, please come tomorrow night again, and then we'll engage. So she said, okay. So when she went back to the village, Ramachandra Khan immediately asked her what happened, and she said, well, nothing. And then he became very angry. He said, you're useless. What do you know? If you don't do this properly, I'm going to chastise you or whatever. She said, but no, he told me to come back tonight. So he said, okay, come back. And then I want to know immediately when this happens. She said, okay. So she went there, and again, Haridas Thakur was chanting throughout the whole night, and all again, into the morning hours. And then again, she was very frustrated. So she went home, and then again he told her to come back the next day. And then again she came back at that particular time, and again he was chanting through the... And then that morning she surrendered at his lotus feet. She said, I cannot do this. She was upset, very angry at Ramachandra Khan for having her do this, but now she simply wanted to become a devotee of Haridas Thakur. And so she became very famous. She shaved her head. She planted a Tulsi tree, sat there and chanted the holy name of Krishna, just like her spiritual master, Haridas Thakur. Hari Bol! So what happened to Ramachandra Khan? Yes. Lord Nityananda Prabhu cursed him. Yes. He cursed him and his family and devastated all his property. I think there was some dacoits that came, spread blood of cow around his property, and they annihilated everything. They even threw salt on his land, so nothing could ever grow there again. And he was completely banished and lost everything. So these are some very heavy pastimes, but these are real. These are things that can happen if we commit offense to the Vaishnavas. So we ourselves have to be very careful. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving instruction to Rupa Goswami, he pointed out that the seriousness of offending a Vaishnava, it's beyond comprehension. And he compared it to hatimata, the elephant offense. It's like if you let an elephant, if you have a nice garden, of course we don't experience that because we don't see wild elephants here. But in India, you know, you can see a big, huge elephant. It's like kind of cool. If you go to Mayapur, you see they've grown up just so big. But you could just see if you let those two elephants in Mayapur in an area where they grow all the flowers for the deities, it would only be a matter of days before they would wreck everything. They would trample on everything. They would eat everything. All the flowers, all the fruits would be completely devastated. So this is very important because we as Vaishnavas, we are cultivating this creeper. And the bhakti yoga process is about cultivating this creeper of love of God. It's described that this bhakti yoga process is about hearing and chanting the holy names, but it's also about reading and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's not just about chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, that's very important. But as Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, we also have to understand the importance of reading and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. That is the watering process for the Bhakti Lata Beach, that seed. And by this watering process, the seed of love of God is sown within the heart. And it's described that by this watering process, this creeper within the heart, it begins to grow. And it says that this creeper, it penetrates the layers of material nature. The layers of nature. It goes through, it penetrates that those particular material covering, the material covering. And then it grows as we water that seed by hearing and chanting and reading and hearing. As we perform that purely, that particular vine, it grows. It grows and it penetrates through the Brahmajyoti. It goes even higher than that. And then as we're chanting and reading and hearing, then it goes all the way to the Vaikuntha planets. Way up to the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha planets. And by continuing of this chanting, it goes into Goloka Vrindavan. All that far, that seed that's sown within the heart, it goes to Goloka Vrindavan. And then it says that by that pure chanting and hearing, it says that the fruit, what is that fruit of that creeper? The fruit is love of God. That's the fruit. And it says that by the continuing of this chanting and hearing, that fruit can be relished. It's tangibly tasted. Tangibly tasted. Tangible means something you can taste. If you eat a piece of fruit, tangible means it's tangible taste. It's citrus or it's sweet. You can taste it. It says that one can tangibly taste the nectar of love of God. This is what we're doing in Krishna consciousness. This is why we're here. But it says that an aparad to a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi can completely destroy that creeper of love of God. Can you imagine what we can do to ourselves? That we're hearing and chanting and reading and we're studying, we're performing sacrifices and austerity. But we can ruin that creeper that goes all the way to Goloka Vrindavan simply by Vaishnav aparad. So that's why it's so important here about this. So we have to see that the primary practice of bhakti yoga will cause the seed to fructify. So we have to water it constantly by this chanting. And we have to be very conscientious. Who's a devotee? We have to know. We can't have an excuse. Oh, I didn't know. No, we should know. That's our duty to know that, to avoid the offenses. In fact, in the morning, we say the 10 offenses every morning. The first offense is what? Yeah. Yes. First, number one offense. And we've given so many pastime stories about this. How do we offend a devotee? Well, there's many ways. Criticizing, speaking out. Oh, did you hear Savas? Can you believe that guy, man? Let's get rid of him. Yeah, just very simple things, just to create negativity within the mind of another devotee. It's offensive, and it's very dangerous. And if we just talk about each other very nonchalantly, like, you know, we actually can make a mistake accidentally by that conversation and criticize a devotee unknowingly. And you may wake up the next day and you don't want to chant your japa. Or you don't want to be a devotee anymore. Yeah, it can happen. It has happened. We lose it. We lose a desire. And then when you crush that creeper, then the leaves, which are the fruit of that creeper, they fall and they shrivel up and it's gone. Yes, that's what the situation is. And we see here in this particular story that Vidura, he could not even make Dhritarashtra a devotee because of his offense to the Pandavas. He couldn't even make him a devotee, even if he wanted to. He couldn't do it, or he wouldn't do it. However it is here. So this is the important instruction about this Vaishnava Parad. You know, our position should be that we're simply the servant of the acharyas, the previous acharyas. That's our position. Prabhupada himself made that comment several times, that he's simply, you know, a servant of the acharyas. So we, as devotees, we should see our position is we're the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the acharyas. This is the way we should be. If we think ourselves in that humble state, then we can go on and feel ourselves not being puffed up. We may have, you know, some great education. You may be very powerful. You may be good looking, or you're great at this or great at that. But still, we should be very conscientious that we're living in association of devotees, and we should always be humble. We should be very humble and meek in our association when we come together. We should be very protective of your creeper. You have a little plant. Let's say you have a tulsi plant. You're very protective of it. It's a little thing like this. Look at that beautiful little thing. And, you know, you don't. If somebody puts too much water on you, wait a minute, don't do that. You want everything to be perfect. You don't want that tulsi leaf or that plant to die. So you're very, very eager to make sure that you protect it, the right kind of light, you know, the right amount of water. Maybe you want to put some nice fertilizer, some kind of natural fertilizer to help tulsi grow. So we're very conscientious of that. Or if you're a mother, how careful do you take care of your baby? If you're a real loving mother, you're so protective. You know, the mother's always looking at the baby, no matter where it's running. The mother's always looking at, where is it? What's it doing? Where is he? Very protective. And it's coming from the heart. So we have to be very protective of our creeper that we're sowing within the heart by the watering process. As we mentioned, that watering process is hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, but also reading. We have to read Srila Prabhupada's books, and we have to hear also. Extremely important. We have to read. Does everybody agree? Haribo. Yes, we have to read Srila Prabhupada's books to get this information. Otherwise, if we don't have that information, someone can come up to you and give you misinformation. They can tell you something that's not necessarily right. So how do you know? You have to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Be prepared. Water your seed. Sow it within the heart. Let this creeper go and penetrate through the layers of material energy. Let it go through the Brahmajyoti of impersonalism. Let it go to the Vaikuntha planets, but then even beyond to Goloka Vrindavan. That's our real position. That's where we belong. So let's be careful about Vaishnava Parada. Okay? Jai. All right. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. All right. Couple of minutes, couple of questions. Yes, sir.
Thank you for such a beautiful class. I just want to check, you know, obviously we're using Shastra and we are following Shastra, and you have elaborated on Ambarish Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj, but you yourself are in a position of management and the GBC is in a position of management. And so we have to deal with devotees. And at that time we were following Srila Prabhupada, and what was Srila Prabhupada's take on a subject matter? And if we are doing management and we are thinking about correcting actions of a devotee, or we are speaking, how is this devotee doing this? In context of what Srila Prabhupada stated on that subject matter, or in authority, when you are correcting someone, you know, someone is doing something that is wrong, is that considered Vaishnava Aparad? Because, you know, in management also there are devotees that you're thinking about constantly who are not doing what they're meant to be doing or are creating disturbance. Is that Vaishnava Aparad?
Well, you know, you're right. Okay, so I'm in a position of management. I'm in that position to actually rectify a difficulty with a devotee. Yes, but at the same time, we have to do it according to Vaishnava etiquette. That's very important here. If they're a junior devotee, we try to bring them up. If they're equal to us, we befriend them. If they're greater than us, then we serve them. So the point being is, this is how we should deal with devotees. If they're someone that's a junior, if we're trying to correct them, we should do it in such a way that it brings them up. Not puts them down further, but brings them up. So we have to be very expert and intelligent how to give information, maybe even a chastisement, but the chastisement should let them know it's for their betterment of their Krishna consciousness. If they're our peers, if they're equal to us, then we have to do it as a friend. My dear Prabhu, as a friend, straw in my mouth, please, Prabhuji, you know, if we do this and do that, then things can become better. This is the way we should approach each other. You know, not behind some closed door and get somebody else riled up and then get a petition and give a petition. Okay, we have a petition here. We think that you're out of bounds, you know. And we think, you know, straighten up or get out. This is not Vaishnava. They're not Vaishnava. We should, and if you're a junior and you're being scolded by someone that's not authorized, then the only thing we got to say to that person is, the person who's doing the criticizing or the whatever, stay in your lane, Prabhu. Don't go out of your lane. You know, like when you're driving a car, if you're authorized, you stay in your lane. Otherwise, you're illegal. So stay in your lane. If you don't have a position of authority, then don't say nothing. Go to a person who has the authority and have that person take care of the problem. And be patient. Titikshava kunika. That's a devotee. A devotee's, you know, humble and tolerant. Be tolerant. You know, okay, so you know, pound on the door, scream and yell, okay, the babble, this is crazy, you know, do something about it right away, or I'm going to go to the GBC or something. And this is like the Wild West. Titikshiva Karunika, a devotee, is very humble, self-controlled, tolerant. And this is how we should approach it. So if you're not an authority, stay in your lane, Prabhuji. That should be our new thing, our new motto. Stay in your lane. Yes, sir.
I heard there's a solution for quarrels in the Vaishnava community. Prabhupada said, if you want all the bickering and you know, petty fights to stop between Vaishnavas, the one miracle cure, it's a magic cure, is everybody should go on Harinam at least once a week.
Haribo! Harinam Sankatana Kijai!
Yeah, I won't mention any names, but I saw something kind of almost... It was a sticky situation of a devotee wanting another devotee to do something else. It was very diplomatically handled by the requested devotee, but still, it was kind of like a disturbing disturbance. So I brought it up with somebody, and he told me about the letter of Srila Prabhupada.
Okay, one more question. Wait for the microphone. Oh, yeah.
Thank you for the class, so Savas Prabhu. We're not committing offenses. We're not engaging in Vaishnava aparad, but what if we hear about Vaishnava aparad? Is that still an offense?
Yeah. And run away.
So what should we do if they're...
You have three choices. The best choice is run away. I'm not going to tell you the other two. But the most important one is if you hear that, go away. That would be the best thing. Don't say anything. Just go away. Yeah. And go away. Because if these things happen, and it's very unfortunate. So you don't want to hear that because then you have a bad attitude. If you hear it's about some other devotee, then you'll think bad of that person, won't you? That's the reaction that they want. Now, you know, this is a very big challenge for all of us on both sides. Going away, because it could be your bosom buddy. It could be your roommate. And it's very challenging. So that's why all of us need to know, read Prabhupada's books. We need to know how we should behave. And we should know who's a devotee, according to Lord Chaitanya's instruction. And if that's a devotee, if you criticize, you're going to get an offense from it. You will. You'll get an offense. Okay, are we okay? Okay, one last, very last one there.
Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. And you said you were going to give the address for the town hall meeting, so don't forget to share that. But I just want to stress that if we keep thinking that if I don't offend devotees, I'm okay, but that means that there are others that's okay to offend. But no, the real devotee doesn't want to offend anybody, not even an ant. See, that's how you... The problem that arose in ISKCON that we've all experienced is that some people think, I won't commit offense against senior devotees, beginning with my Guru Maharaj, but everybody else is fair game. You see, including Guru Maharaj's god brothers. They're not my guru. No. Immediately you've fallen off a cliff. Because Lord Chaitanya set the example that the contemporaries, the god brothers of my guru, are my guru also.
Yes.
And if you have that mentality of not offending anyone, then you won't offend your guru's god brothers or anyone.
Exactly.
So the mistake, I've said this many times, but it's very, very important. You can make two mistakes when you approach somebody. You can think somebody is a pure devotee who is not a pure devotee, or you can think somebody who is not a pure devotee who is a pure devotee.
Yeah.
It's better to make the second mistake. Treat everybody like they're a pure devotee. What have you lost? If you treat somebody like they're a pure devotee and try your best not to offend them.
Yes.
But the opposite mistake will get you in trouble. If you think, this person's not so advanced, my Guru Maharaj is advanced, the rest of them, who cares? You're bound to make a mistake and you're going to offend somebody.
Yes. Maninath, last one.
Thank you for your wonderful class, Prabhu. It makes us enlightened. So my request is we need this kind of class every day. So, you know, it helps us to be more Krishna consciousness.
Yes, yes. Very important. We should. As much as possible, we should be like this. He's saying that we should have things like classes like this every day to remind ourselves how important it is with this Vaishnava Aparad and association of devotees. Thank you. Very good point. Okay, we got it. Okay. One last one. That's it. Finished after this.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the awesome class. It was amazing. One way to avoid Vaishnava Parada is by not critiquing, complaining, or comparing the other devotees. And keeping that mentality really helps you through your speech and improve your daily life and your services.
Yes. And if you consider yourself to be the servant of the servant of the servant, then that also helps. Yeah. Okay, thank you for that. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So if you get on our website, I think that Radhakrishna Prabhu, you did that blast, right, for the unit. So, Archita Prabhu, do you get, Archita, hey Archita, do you actually get the weekly blast out that we do? Okay, so the address is on there. Radhakrishna Prabhu sent that out.